Welcome to Ask Pastor John, a question and answer podcast with John Piper. John, we have talked in the past about the need for Christians to embrace suffering and pain for the sake of Christ. But what about sharing that idea with someone who is in the midst of great pain? Do you have suggestions on how to present these truths to a suffering soul in a way that won't bring even more pain?
Yes, I do. I think you need a pastoral, wise, tender, patient, discerning heart when you approach a person, especially who has just entered profound shock and pain, say the immediate death of a loved one, or the announcement that so-and-so has cancer, or a child that's been born with a profound disability or something. There are moments there where the reality has landed with such force that what's needed there is support first before explanation. And you need to come in alongside with a lot of, I am here. I may just, like Job's friends, 7 days, not a word. Those were good days for Job. Good days for Job. It's when they opened their stupid mouths and began offering inadequate explanations that put Job in the guilty seat that they became false comforters. So to be there physically, to have there be a lot of touch, a lot of prayer, a lot of support, a lot of common burden-bearing like meals and clean the house and just do the practical things that need to be done when you're at the hospital all day long. Those kinds of things communicate the love of God in a very powerful way. And then we try to be discerning. When are they ready to hear more biblical truth? And you'd probably just start with just massive truths of God is for you. Believe him. They may not feel like believing him, but you just keep saying the truth. God is for you. Christ died for you. He who did not spare his own son will he not with him give you all things? And then as they perhaps press you over time for why, then you can move towards truths that feel at the beginning more difficult. And I mentioned some time ago when we were doing a recording that there are a couple families in this church right now who are beautiful testimonies of the fact that it does take time to come to rest in the sovereignty of God in the midst of great crisis. And so I want to give people time. I've got this phrase that I learned from the book of Job. I think it's chapter 6, so I'm not sure. I haven't looked it up for a while. That talks about words for the wind. And I think it means that sometimes you say things in the midst of a crisis that nobody should take seriously. They should be words for the wind. They come out of your mouth, and instead of you're sitting listening to somebody, and they say something like, I don't think God can love me and do this. Well, if you know that person and they've walked with God a long time and that word comes out, instead of letting it go in your ear and lodge down and produce doubt about their faith, you should let the wind just blow that away. Just blow that away and say, that didn't come from their heart. That's a word for the wind. Just let it go, because they're going to regret saying that and they didn't really mean it. It's just they don't have words right now to express their pain, and that seemed like one that would work. I'd like to bring people along far enough so that they don't ever say things like that. But as a pastor, I don't have the luxury of dictating what my people say, and I just want to be patient and helpful.
Well, your words are interesting to me, because I had a friend recently who lost his wife in an automobile accident. And literally, it was probably a week later that he was sitting with me, and he just point blank looked at me and said, do you believe that God planned for her to die? I mean, it was just stated out there, and I just slowly kind of gulped, and well, I said, yes, I would find no comfort in knowing that God was a helpless bystander when that car did what it did.
Yeah, I think it helps to point to the opposite, to see whether the opposite of God's involvement is more comforting than the involvement. I think what people might need to hear at a point like that is not just, and this is the way you did it, not just a point blank, yes, there's your answer. That's what you wanted to hear, right? I think what we need to say is, if God is not powerful enough to stop that accident, what help can he be to you now? In other words, get people to think just a little beyond the immediate statement of theological problem that they're raising, so that the consequences of rejecting a sovereign God are felt to be as awesome and ominous and terrible as they are, and how precious it is that we have a God on our side right now in our crisis who can, in his sovereignty, work everything together for our good, which we wouldn't have if he were the kind of God who couldn't have stopped that accident.
And I think to finish on, the one other thing you said, which is so important, though, is the fact that he immediately said, I can't accept that. Time is not done.
Mm-hmm.
And we just have to speak truth as we know it and then leave it for God, the Spirit, to do his work.
Right. I think that's right. We should be patient with folks like that, not assume that's the last word.
Ask Pastor John, a podcast of John Piper and Desiring God. Know God and enjoy him more than ever through spending time today at our website, desiringgod.org, desiringgod.org.